Today on Black Twitter Talk, is Young Thug queer? Nate Parker breaks his silence. Black men rally in support for Leslie, and Donald Trump exploits the murder of Nikea Aldrich. Stay tuned. Yeah.
She's a fine.
Funky.
This is one of my favorite songs ever. This is Bette Davis, y'all. She's the wife, well, she was married to Miles Davis. She is one of my favorite musicians ever. Check her out if you don't know it. I am your host. Do it. We're gonna do it today. I'm Angie Skates. You can find me on Twitter at Angie_Skates. Thanks for tuning in, y'all.
What's up, you guys? I'm Kelly. You can find me on social media at The Urban Gypsy LA.
So today on Twitter, Black Twitter Talk, we're talking Nate Parker. We talked about the rape case last week, and a lot of our viewers had some very strong opinions about what we laid out on the show.
Yeah, there were some people not feeling my opinion, some people not feeling yours.
I got trolled on Twitter. It was crazy. And we're going to talk about cyberbullying and trolling a little bit later on in the show when we cover Leslie Jones. But I want to talk about, guess what? Nate Parker again, y'all.
We got new info, y'all.
I'm not done yet. So after 2 weeks of silence, Nate Parker says nothing. Social media goes rampant. He finally sits down in an exclusive interview with Ebony. And he pretty much, bullet for bullet, lays out everything that we were talking about on the last show. In response to what we wanted him to address 2 weeks ago, what he should have addressed 2 weeks ago. So he sits down with Brittany at Ebony, and he didn't really take responsibility for the sexual assault, but the main thing that they covered, I felt like, in this interview was consent, the idea of consent.
Well, I mean, he didn't take responsibility for it because he's saying he didn't rape her. So what is there to take responsibility for?
Right, but anyway, that's fine, whatever. I wanted him to come out and say that he didn't do it if he didn't do it, and he did. He maintains his innocence, and I'm okay with that. That's great.
Right.
But one of the things that he talks about in this interview is the idea of consent.
Mm-hmm.
He says that he's 36 years old, and he's learning about the definitions that he should have known when he started having sex.
Which is what we talked about last week. I was saying that it's important that we educate them while they're young about what it is, because if you don't know, all you do is take, oh, if she says no, but if she doesn't say no, then what?
Right. He also admits that he's ignorant, that he was ignorant, he's selfish, and that he reached out to a lot of different feminists that occupy the space where they talk about rape culture and things like that to kind of get some advice on what he did wrong, what he could do different.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that I really liked about this interview with Nate is that he juxtaposes male privilege and white supremacy. I think this is that intersection that we were talking about for being a woman and being Black. A lot of the times that's overlooked by Black men, and we never really get a Black man like Nate or anyone in with his
platform and
right to speak on it in the way that he did, and I'm just really appreciative of that.
He said, to be honest, my privilege as a male, I never thought about it. I'm walking around daring someone to say something or do something that I define as racist or holding us back, but never really thinking about male culture and the destructive effect it has on our community.
He says he's trying to transform behaviors and ideas that have never been challenged in certain ways in my life. And that is just crazy to me. I feel like, as a woman, as a Black woman, we are very aware of the struggle of the Black man. We are in tune. We come and we organize and we're there. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But they're just so ignorant and just so self-centered in it. It's just crazy.
I mean, like he continues to compare it to white privilege. And I think people had a problem with him kind of doing it. But it is very similar. Like, we're just, as Black people, we're also very aware of what it means to have white privilege because we can see it. But if you're in it, you don't see it. it.
And these are not ideas that are new. These are ideas that Black feminists present all the time, especially on platforms like Twitter. But very rarely do we get heterosexual Black men who speak up in this manner. Mm-hmm. And I'm grateful that he was able to use this platform to do exactly that, which is what a lot of people on social media called for him to do.
Right.
Go ahead.
No, that's it.
He goes on to say that he thinks there is having a behavior that is disrespectful to women that goes unchecked, where your manhood is defined by sexual conquest, where you trade stories with your friends and no one checks anyone. And I think this goes back to a couple of shows that we did ago, where we talk about toxic masculinity with Joyce Kwewiye, where this man beat this woman to death and got his friend to join in and do it with him. And it's like, it's not our space. It's not our place to check you as a woman a lot of times, because it falls on deaf ears. But as a man, to say to your
home, check another man,
like, look, that's not cool. This is not right. Think about it from this perspective.
When you play me, you play yourself.
You play yourself.
Okay.
Don't play yourself.
Let's get into some of these tweets. This one, Nate Parker has not done the work. Nate Parker has been carefully coached crisis management people to say the right things.
So Black Twitter was not feeling this interview. Mm-mm. Not a lot of the people on Twitter are still not supporting him. They're saying that it's not genuine. They're saying that it's too little, too late. Mm-hmm. They just don't believe him. And I just think that, you know, this is a step in the right direction. Like, we called for him to speak out in an honest way, and I think he did that. I think the next 2 weeks and then the weeks after that will be very telling for him if he continues to.
I don't even think 2 weeks is long enough. I think just the next year or so, because even the person who interviewed him via Ebony was saying that she gave a suggestion like, well, you should start doing college campus tours where you're talking to young Black men, or young men in general, because it's not just Black men, young men, about rape culture and hypermasculinity. So I think this is definitely a first step, but it definitely needs more follow-up in order for it to have a true impact.
Absolutely. But I think in the same breath, we can't just knock him and say, oh, this isn't genuine. Like, we called for him 2 weeks ago to do this, and now he's doing it, and now it's not enough.
Right. But I actually think it's very genuine. I think the fact that even he has Gabrielle Union on the cast, I think it's very, very likely that they ended up having a conversation about it, and that Gabrielle Union made it a point to educate him on it, as well as he said he had other friends who he had no idea had been in situations like that. So I think it's genuine, and I do think he probably had a crisis management or publicist who coached him on it. But he better have. You have all this money on the line. You have this huge film that you invested everything you have into. You should have got one sooner. You should have started reaching out to your friends sooner. You should have talked to somebody like, I don't know enough about this.
It's crazy to me, though, because even in conversation with my men friends, they are still so ignorant to what consent actually is. They make excuses and say, oh, you know, women be out drinking, they wear the short skirts, they're loose and this and that and the other. Like, they're begging for that kind of attention. So again, I'm grateful that Nate took the step and he was as honest as he was. And I'm not saying go see the film. I'm not saying not go see the film. You have the prerogative, the right to feel however you want to feel about it.
I think we should go see it, because I feel like regardless of what he did, he did invest a lot of this. He created a piece of art. It wasn't just him that put time and money into this production, and it is telling a story. It's not just a regular slave story. It's the revolution, and I feel like we need this, and I'm curious to see it. Like, let's support our Black filmmakers. Like, what are we talking about here?
I just want to say to all of the viewers who have different viewpoints, I want you to continue to share them, but in a way that is respectful. I got trolled on Twitter. I got called all kind of dumbass bitches, unintelligent, this, that, and the other. And I just want to say, I refuse to acquiesce to the disrespect. If you want to engage in intelligent discourse, then do that.
Let's do that, yeah.
But don't troll me on Twitter. Don't at me, okay? We'll talk about that a little bit later when we get into the Leslie Jones story. Yeah. But speaking of fragile masculinity, have you seen rapper Young Thug, his new album cover?
I saw it too.
He has on a dress, y'all. Why is he wearing a dress? Honestly, when I first saw the cover, to me, myself, as a connoisseur of music, music in general, not so much hip hop, but I thought it was innovative for me. I've never seen a hip hop cover quite like that. I've never seen anybody that is a hip hop artist do anything quite like that for an album cover. So it actually made me go listen to his album, and that's something that I never would have done otherwise. And after listening to it once, I will never listen to it again. It's just not my cup of tea. But a lot of people are not pleased with this cover.
I personally don't think it's that innovative. I guess as far as him being a hip-hop artist, we've never seen it. But technically, it's just a beautiful blue dress and a hat and a beautiful photo, which was shot by Garfield Larmond. But I think it's beautiful. It's stunning. It definitely made me go listen to the album, too. A lot of people compared it to
Alvin Ailey dancers.
Yeah, that's what I think of. I think of Wade in the water. Like, that's exactly what it looks like. That looks like the umbrella that they hold and the dress that they wear. So I don't think it's that innovative, but
for hip-hop, it is.
For hip-hop, I mean... I guess, but I just think the photo is gorgeous, and I love the idea of androgyny. So the idea that you can't necessarily tell that that's a man right away, that is what's amazing, but...
I think we have reached another intersection where blackness meets queerness, and a lot of genderqueer people on Twitter expressed their distaste, their dislike, their discontent for this album cover. And honestly, I'm going to say that I don't necessarily have the range to engage this conversation as much as a genderqueer person might, but I completely understand where they say that this is not innovative at all. This is BS. This is crap, pretty right. much.
I mean, I don't think it's crap. I think it's gorgeous.
They were feeling it, though.
Like, look at the pose. Like, that pose is crazy. Like, the lean back with the prop leg.
It's an amazing photo,
regardless if that was a man, a woman, black, white. It's right. A beautiful photograph.
But some people feel exploited by this because it is genderqueer, but he is obviously... He's so misogynistic, and he...
Yes. I listened to the album, unfortunately.
Unfortunately. And I'm just like...
Literally next. Some club tracks and maybe like a treadmill next. Track, and that's about it. Like, I don't, nothing that, no substance in the album at all.
He tricked
which you
us.
Would expect, like, from this photo, you would definitely expect substance in his music.
Yeah, but there is none, so don't waste your time.
Mylees E. Johnson, Miles, I'm sorry.
Miles?
Oh. Ooh. My bad. Miles E. Johnson, also known as @House Mother. He tweeted, he had a long thread of tweets, but one thing he does says is, it feels violent for someone to profit and recreate stardom from aesthetics that if you wore, when you wear it, it would endanger your life.
So he's pretty much saying that there are people that do this every single day. There are people that get killed over this every single day. So this, in fact, is not innovative. They're saying that he's exploiting things that are native to genderqueer, black queer culture.
Right. He said the marketing and strategy and branding being mistaken for innovative and bravery. Kevin, the faggot down the street, is doing the same thing.
And he's honest. He's being real. And this is why I love Twitter, because otherwise marginalized voices have an opportunity to speak out and say, look, this is how I feel about it. This is how it affects me. This is how it affects my community. And he also wrote a piece for Affinity Magazine. If you haven't read it, I recommend that you read it. I learned a lot myself. It was a great read.
This is Miles Johnson who wrote that?
Yeah, okay. Miles Johnson. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, in response to that, @MoreAndAgain, she tweeted that, first off, I don't even know enough about Young Thugger to say he's not genderqueer. But secondly, genderqueer people do not own wearing clothing that's atypical for your gender. Women who aren't genderqueer have often chosen to express themselves wearing suits, and men wearing dresses. That history is long.
And that's true. And if you look at the scope of music outside of hip-hop, and even in hip-hop, Erykah Badu compares Young Thug, whatever his name is, to Andre 3000. Yes. And when you look at artists like Prince and even George Clinton. Who, you know, are androgynous in a lot of ways, and, you know, they don, you know, different outfits and...
Right, and then we also have Jaden Smith, who's been doing that a lot. He recently was in the Louis Vuitton women's campaign, as a young male. And again, for me, visually, that campaign was beautiful. I love Jaden in it and everything. But I do have to say that I kind of contradict myself in my everyday life. Although I love androgyny in the photo world, I personally, if I see you down the street or you're a man that I'm potentially dating, I do not want to see you in a dress. I'm not comfortable with that.
I mean, it makes a lot of people uncomfortable, but I think the main difference is the fact that they're kind of consistent in their message, whereas Young Thug has on a dress, but he's still very disrespectful to women. He's disrespectful to gay people. He says, green, this is a lyric from him, green and red, MF for flag, I dress like Prince and not a fag. Like, that is completely...
Oh, that is rude.
That's rude. That's disrespectful.
So what's wrong with dressing like a fag?
Like,
I
what?
I don't want to say that Mel, word. Sorry,
yeah,
guys.
It's just so disrespectful, but you have on a dress on your... You're misleading. And that's where, you know, it took me a while to get there, but I totally understand where genderqueer people are saying that this is exploitive.
See, and that's why I never really have been a fan of Young Thug and him wearing a dress, because it almost feels like he's just doing it because it's a gimmick. It's something to make people talk about. It's something to... And it feels like they're just using him in order to exploit this idea that, oh, man, let's wear dresses, too. No, don't wear... And if you're trying to date me and some of my homegirls, don't be wearing no dresses.
Yeah,
I'm sorry. I'm not a fan of it in my personal life.
It's colluded, it's harmful, and it's disrespectful.
It's confusing enough.
It is confusing.
Y'all skinny jeans are tight enough. Y'all don't need to start wearing dresses.
Okay. Yeah, so anyway, he perpetuates a lot of the violent patriarchal culture that kills queer people.
Right.
And I'm with you on this, Young Thug.
But the photo is beautiful.
It is beautiful, but anyway, speaking of cross-dressing rappers, have you seen what Twitter did to Young Jock? Or what Young Jock did to himself, first of all.
Right.
So Young Jock got a real nice perm.
At first, when I saw the tweets, I thought they were putting the hair on Young Jock. No, I didn't know he actually had that hairstyle.
He put it on himself, okay? And Twitter is so damn talented. Like, the memes and the tweets that they came up with was crazy. They put him on a perm box, on a relaxer box,
with Snoop Dogg.
It's so good. Twitter, you're so talented. I love you.
You're so good. But why? Why'd you do that, Young Thug?
Young Jock.
Oh, shoot, my
bad. We mixing young. Up the Youngs. Apparently, he tweeted out or Snapchatted that it was for a movie role. I don't know. But I think this brings up a bigger conversation about black men and natural hair.
Mm-hmm.
I think black men are uncomfortable with natural hair on themselves and on black women, too, a lot. I remember one time being on a date. And this is a first date, mm-hmm. Okay? And I'm sitting across from this guy, and I got my curly afro is popping as usual. And the first thing comes out of his mouth is, I usually don't date women with natural hair.
Okay, sir, then see yourself
We're
out
done.
Then. We don't
done.
Need to talk. Why
done.
Would you even say that to me?
Done with his nappy beard and his taco meat on his chest. Like, what are you Ooh. Doing? Like, you uncomfortable with yourself. Like, you don't know how to care for your own hair and your yourself. So...
What right. Is,
I think that, and another, let me tell you another story. This one
another
fool,
one.
Yeah, and another one. He tells me that my hair looks like cotton, and he's sitting up in my house. My hair look like cotton? You can get out and go pick some, fool. You got to go. Like, I think black men are uncomfortable with themselves. Like,
I think they're uncomfortable with hair, and I think they're also uncomfortable with, not uncomfortable, but I think they also deal with issues as far as hair texture and complexion, just like we do, in a different way, but I think it affects them more than we discuss. I think we heavily discuss how it affects women, but not how it affects men, because let's keep it real. Men do texturize their hair.
They do.
Men have hair implants. They be missing their edges too, y'all. They be having receding hairlines, and they go and they try to fix that too. So we all struggling trying to look a certain way, especially in LA.
In LA, I'm from Inglewood. I love my natural hair. I love my curls. And if you don't like it, you can get lost, boo.
Okay.
One of my favorite tweets, though, they said that Young Jock looked like a wop bop a loop bop a lop bamboo. I love Twitter.
No,
you guys
he
are
really
fun.
Does. I like the one, Meet Me in the Trap is going down to making my way downtown. Like, he really do look like that. But can I say that the more that I saw the tweets and memes and stuff, I actually want to see him rock the hair and make it look fly, though. It got real quiet. Okay, it's just me.
Young. I'm done with Young Jock. I don't want to see him.
I want to see him. I want to see him rock it now.
Why?
Why not? Like, they just make fun of you, make it look fly, make people start copying.
Well, that's he still get all the broads. He still get them. That's what I feel like he could.
After a while, I got used to it. I'm looking at the picture now. Like,
anyway, I'm over it. So Leslie Jones, you guys, she is one of the stars in Ghostbusters, the mm-hmm. reprisal with the all women cast, and she has been harassed and attacked on Twitter before. But just recently, her website was hacked, mm-hmm. and they put up pictures of the gorilla Harambee. They put up nude photos of her. They put up pictures of her driver's license with her personal information, passport information. They are coming for Leslie, and I just don't understand why. Like, why do y'all hate black women so much? Like, what does she do? Like, besides be a great comedian, be successful, be like unbothered
for the Olympics,
unmoved by the attacks, and she keeps coming back stronger and better than ever. Like, what is
back and I'm better.
Hey, I don't get it. Like, what is it with Leslie?
I don't know, but I'm glad that this time black men decided to take a stand and like be in support of her, which I'm surprised.
I'm very surprised. So this young black kid started this hashtag. What is it?
Black men support Leslie.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And when I'm reading this hashtag on Twitter, it read like a love letter to black women. They are saying so many affirmative things towards not just Leslie, but all black women in general. And it was just such a beautiful thing because we don't ever really, I don't feel that. Especially on social media. No. I really don't. Not
we
even
have
in
a
my
couple
real
of
life.
Tweets. Black women are always here for us. So it's time we be here for y'all, both on and off of here. Hashtag black men support Leslie. And then we also have, we gotta come through for women. They always come through for us.
As we do.
Hello.
And to speak to the bigger issue here, and I received a little bit of that on Twitter because of last week's show. My strong opinions that I had, I was trolled a little bit and disrespected a lot of it to me. But like, what kind of effects does this have on us, our psyche, just our overall, you know, mood? Like, I was sad midweek and I couldn't even really pinpoint why.
Right. And I've been harassed via Twitter too, like sexually harassed and just stalked on Twitter as well. And I mean, you think like, oh, it's just Twitter. Oh, it's just that. But when you're constantly getting hit up about something and you're being called names and, you know, it does affect your day-to-day life.
And it's uncalled for. Leslie Jones, I think you are a phenomenal woman, and I support you as well, and I want you to keep doing your thing. We caping for you, boo.
Right, and I'm excited about this whole hashtag and the support, and I hope it turns into a trend, so to speak, that more men are supportive of black women and that they're outspoken about it, creating hashtags for us.
Yes, and that's another thing to just piggyback off of the conversation earlier with Nate Parker. What I think his dialogue has the potential to do is just to connect black men and women in a way society that we have not, you know, done before.
Yeah, it facilitates a conversation and more understanding between us too. And I think it has the potential to really turn into something that could be truly revolutionary.
Talk about
a
revolution.
Imagine us as like really supporting each other, not just women supporting black men, but them supporting us as well.
Black sexual politics,
what?
Y'all. It's a thing.
Like, come on. Come through.
Do that. Hillary Clinton even tweeted about Leslie Jones.
What did she say?
She said something something about nobody deserves this.
And as they
true.
Don't.
That's
like
true.
Your whole
they
passport
don't.
Information, all of that, really?
Like, why? What is the point of that? But anyway, Hillary isn't the only presidential candidate tweeting to court black voters. Disgusting Donald. Ugh. I hate him. That's a strong word, and that takes a lot of energy. I'm indifferent. But anyway, he tweets about the...
I know.
I can't stand him, though. He tweets about the death of Nykia Aldridge, who mm-hmm. is Dwayne Wade's cousin.
Mm-hmm.
And what does he say about it?
He says, Dwayne Wade's cousin
He spelled the name wrong, first of all. But go ahead.
He did a couple of tweets, but one of them said, Dwayne Wayne's cousin was just shot and killed walking her baby in Chicago. Just what I've been saying. African Americans will vote Trump.
No, we won't. Don't nobody like you, Donald.
I don't even understand how you came with that correlation. Oh, because he was shot and killed, then now everybody's going to support me. Donald. What have you said about me and my life and what you're going to do in order to improve it?
People like dumbass Donald are the main contributors to, you know, conditions that we see in Chicago and other cities around the country. Right. Like, why we not voting for you, Donald? We don't.
You're not putting no jobs directly into Chicago to alleviate all that that's going on in there. So what are you talking about? And he keeps, like, I think this is just an attempt to pit black people against brown people because of the immigration laws. That's to say, like, oh, well, if you vote for me, then I'm going to get you guys more jobs. No, because I'm pretty sure you outsource your jobs to another country, too, Donald.
You do. We all hate you, Donald. So keep our names out your fucking mouth, Donald.
Real talk. Like, that's ridiculous. And I feel like stuff like this is why a lot of young black educated people don't even want to vote in this election, because Donald is saying this stuff out loud and it sounds ridiculous, but there's this underlying feeling that Hillary thinks these things, yeah, and she's just more politically correct because she's been in politics and she's more educated.
She's a real politician.
Her team is better, but it feels like they both feel the same way. They don't really care. They're just saying what they need to say in order to get us to vote for them.
And I don't... Anyway, Donald, die. I hate you.
Oh my God. I'm sorry.
I'm not sorry. Sorry, not sorry. That's enough. He gets no more.
I'm sorry.
Hell no. Anyway...
I'm done with you.
Anyway, Mar Brock Akil and Salim Akil.
Those are my favorite.
Those are my favorite.
Do you guys know who that is?
Y'all may not know who they are. And if you don't know, you need to know. They're the creators of Girlfriends. They did The Game. They did Being Mary Jane.
Soul Food. The series, if you haven't seen it, you sleep.
They took a step away from Being Mary Jane, and Will Packard Production Company is going to take over that, but they're still going to work on that as a consulting producer. So if that is your show, I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen with that, but I'm excited to see.
Yeah, that's supposed to be starting soon. And I don't know if it's going to be the same without Mara's hands on it, because she finesses.
She's a beast.
Everything. Because when her hands came out of The Game, we all saw what happened with that show.
Yeah, it kind of just fell apart. Yeah. But Mara gets it right every single time.
Every single time.
I love her. Anyway, she's working with ABC now. Can we give a shout out to ABC for working with Shonda Rhimes and now Salim and Mara Brock Akil, they getting it right over there at ABC.
Yeah.
Kenya Barris with the Blackish show.
Oh, yeah, that is on ABC.
Yeah, so they picked up her, it's a comedy, it's a romantic comedy. Like, we can't get enough of black love in a romantic comedy kind of way, called Documenting Love. Mm-hmm. They picked it up for pilot, and they're going to produce it. And I'm excited. I hope that it gets picked up for a series because, like I said, Mara Brock Akil and Salim Akil, they are excellent storytellers. They are very diverse in the characters that they create. In this story, Documenting Love, is about a power couple.
Ooh.
Yeah. And I think it chronicles their own life. It mirrors their own life. Because
they're like one of my favorite power couples. Too.
They are. They're so dope. I love them. I'm excited to see.
I am too.
Yeah, with this unfolds. Another one. Southside With You.
It came out this weekend. You guys.
Have y'all seen it? I didn't get a chance to see. I'm gonna go see it after the show.
I haven't seen it.
You gonna
it.
Come with me? You gonna be my date?
No, I have plans.
Whatever. Anyway,
but the movie about Obama,
President Obama and First Lady Michelle, it chronicles their first date. It's called Southside With You. It was executive produced by John Legend.
He did that, and he did The Underground. And if you guys haven't seen The Underground yet,
it's on Hulu now.
Angie told me it's on Hulu because the new season about to come out. But catch up on the first season.
So I'm gonna check it out. I'm gonna get into it because I love me some John Legend and Chrissy Teigen.
He's doing a great job.
They are. So it stars Tika Sumpter and Parker Sawyers, and I'm just like, I can't get enough of black love. Like, we always talk about how representation is important. Go watch this movie. Go support.
Like, go see it and tell us what you think about it. If you guys saw it already, or once you do go see it, put it in the comments. Let us know what you loved about it, what your favorite part was, how's that soundtrack, because I feel like soundtracks died for a long time, and I feel like they're getting revived now. So I want to know, is the soundtrack popping or not?
I heard one of the songs. John Legend he goes in. I love me some John. He's such a good guy.
He's great.
But yeah, that is our show, you guys.
Hey.
Thanks for tuning in. We love doing this. We love having you guys comment on and on our videos on YouTube. Check us out next week. You can find me on Twitter at @Angie_skates.
You can find me at The Urban Gypsy LA.
We'll see y'all next week.
Peace out, y'all.
From executives Kevin Undergaro, Dario Kristen, Tiana Hobson, and the entire BHL staff, we would like to thank you for supporting Black Hollywood Live, the first online broadcast network dedicated to African-American entertainment. For questions and comments, contact us. info@blackhollywoodlive.com. Like us on Facebook, tweet us, or Instagram us at BHL Online. And I am the official voice of Black Hollywood Live, Scipio. Instagram me at KingXOBay. Thanks for tuning in. The views expressed here are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of BHL or its owners or principals.